Good morning and welcome on this third Sunday of Advent. Couple of announcements. The angel tree gifts are due today by 3 o'clock. Council meeting tomorrow at 7 p.m. at the church office. The new candidates, the four new candidates for council, we invite you to attend the meeting with us. That starts at 7 o'clock at the church office. December the 19th, we will have a meet and greet for the primary candidate for pastor. It will be held at the picnic shelter, rain or shine. On the 20th, we will have a drive-through vote for the pastor candidate. That would be from 11:30 to 1:30. Also on the 20th, we'll be drawing for the gas card. The Recreation Committee is raffling off a gas card. If you don't have your tickets for that, you can get them at the church office Tuesday through Thursday. February the 7th will be the annual audit. If you are a committee treasurer, get with Latifah at the church office and find out your time for the audit on the 7th. Birthdays for today. Happy birthday to Brandon Hedrick, Greg Kepley, Johnny Fritz, Caroline Hedrick, Colton Rose. We have no anniversaries for today. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Let us pray. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the words of your prophets, that anointed by your Spirit we may testify to your light, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
We praise you, O God, for this victory wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, strengthen our hearts as we await the Lord's coming in glory. Enlighten us with your grace, that we may serve our neighbors in need. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen.
The first reading for today comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberties to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. They will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord to display his glory. They shall build up the ancient ruins, they shall rise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. I will faithfully give them their recompense. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants shall be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge that they are a people whom the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My whole being shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its shoots, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to spring up, So the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all nations. The word of the Lord. The Psalms is Psalms 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves. The second reading comes from 1 Thessalonians. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise the words of prophets, but test everything, hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. This is the testimony given by John when the Jewish sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny it, but confessed, "I am not the Messiah." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "No, I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." Then they asked to him, "Who are you? Let us have an answer for those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Why then are you baptizing if you are neither the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water. Among you stands one whom you do not know, the one who is coming after me. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandal." This took place in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and Jesus Christ our Lord and Savior. A big part of the theme today is light in the midst of darkness. I was reminded many years ago, I was a child, a young child, not quite as young as she is, but pretty young. And my father was real excited and took our family to a cave in the mountains. And it was exciting for me. We went down in this cave. And After a time, the man said, "Now it is dark down here. It is so dark that you can't see anything." And they turned out the lights. Now, as a little kid, perhaps if I'd been at home and that happened, I would have been afraid. But there in the cave with my parents and all the other people, I wasn't really afraid. But I was amazed because they said, "You can't even see your hand in front of your face." So if you have ever been in one of those caves, they do that little stunt, I guess, in all the different caves, wherever they are, if they go deep underground. And the amazing thing to think about is the people who first discovered those caves, in many cases, century or two ago or more. And the best they would have had for light would have been a little torch. And yet they go in these places where they can see almost nothing because it is totally dark. And it always seemed to me at times in my room at home, I suppose, or at night in the woods, that it was dark, but it was never as dark as it was there. And when the light came back on, it was a relief almost, because the darkness was almost a weight on you. Well, the theme today is light, but it's also joy. This is Gaudete Sunday, third Sunday of Advent, and that's true through most of the Western Church, Roman Catholic, Anglican, Lutheran, and other mainline Protestants. It can come any day between December 11th and 17th. It takes the name Gaudete from the first word of the introit in the Latin Mass, and it simply means rejoice. And our scriptures today speak of joy. In Isaiah, the people rejoice about the good things God has done. The psalmist sings about God restoring the fortunes of his people. Paul encourages the Christians to rejoice. John the Baptist brings good news for everyone. So the theme is joy. Some churches used to put a pink candle for the third Sunday as part of that celebration of joy. The themes are somewhat arbitrary, and sometimes churches use different, but I've always thought that idea of joy in the midst of Advent is a very important idea and understanding. We tend to oftentimes think of joy as being happy, but happy and joy are not the same thing. They don't mean the same thing. We can be joyful even in times of sorrow or sadness. Joy has to do with an internal state or experience and is not dependent on things that happen around us. There's a phrase, a verse, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." The idea is that we take joy in God, and in that we find strength. Our gospel today, by John, is about John, and in this gospel, John is never called the Baptist or the baptizer. He's always called a witness. He does baptism, but the primary thing John wants us to understand is that John, the witness, is primarily witnessing to who Christ is. It's not about John. It's about Jesus. John is a witness who testifies to the good news of Jesus Christ. John's gospel uses these two words more than 45 times because they're so central to what he's trying to communicate. The words are used in legal context for witnesses in court. They're used they form the basis for the word martyr, which is the word we use for those who gave their lives for their faith in Christ. And this statement that we read today is how John starts his gospel. The first part of the chapter was, "In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, was in the beginning with God." It's part of a big poem. But then after several verses, we switch to this account of John. Witness, as used by John, refers to the character and significance of this person who is sharing the good news. Credible witnesses are very important. You go to court, you want a credible witness to give testimony for you, whether you are the defendant Or you're the prosecutor trying to convict someone. You want your witnesses to be credible. One of the things people try to do is undermine the credibility of witnesses for the other side. Well, John says he is a witness. He's offering evidence of God's grace and of who Jesus is. It's been revealed to John by God. Here is the Lamb of God. So they ask John, "Who are you?" The real question is, "Are you the one we're waiting for?" But John says he's not. He's not the Messiah. He's not Elijah. He's not the prophet. He talks only about who he is not. How sharp a contrast that is to politicians and people in power today who talk far more about themselves than about anyone else. But John says he is not there for himself. What he is doing is not for himself. He is there to witness, to testify about God's Son, whom God sent for the salvation of the world. "Who are you? I'm not the Messiah. I'm not Elijah. I'm certainly not the one you think I am." Jesus talks often and throughout John in a series of statements, "I am." At the beginning of the gospel, he has John the baptizer, John the witness's words, "I am not," in contrast to Jesus' words, "I am." John describes himself only in relation to who Jesus is. He points to Jesus, "Behold, it's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And for John, sin is not some moral failing. For John, when he talks about the sin, he's not talking about transgressions we may have committed. He's talking about unbelief, an unbelief that separates us from God. The story of John, the witness or testifier, calls attention to a fundamental confession of the incarnation. The light shines in the darkness does not overcome it. Before the Word became flesh is the claim that there is light even in the midst of darkness. Bruce David Forbes, a writer in his little book Christmas: A Candid History, provides a synopsis of the importance of light for early celebrations of Jesus' birth. In the dead of winter, amid the darkest and shortest days of the year, festivals of light were essential. John's first declaration of the incarnation, that the light of the world is shining even in darkness, relates to a fundamental human need for light. Most people are basically afraid of the dark, much like a fear of falling. It's inbred, ingrained in us. We don't have eyes that are real good to see in the dark. Unlike if we have cats, our cats' eyes see very well. They see better in the dark, really, than they do in the light. Ours don't. So there is this sort of inborn or inbred fear of darkness. And so this promise of light in the middle of winter and time of darkness is an important promise. And John emphasizes that. But the other word that John the writer uses to describe John is testifier. The church where I grew up, there was no liturgy. It was very simple service, but there was singing, praying, preaching, and testimonies. Some of you may have a background in churches that do that or have visited, where people get up and testify to God's work in their life. Now, growing up, I didn't know the language of liturgy or proclamation, but when a lay person stood up to say something, you knew what it was going to be. It was going to be a testimony of some sort about how God had worked in their life. Some churches, a typical testimony may begin something like, giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, and to the pastors and the officers and the deacons of the church, to all the saints and our friends, God has been good to me. And they tell us how God has been good to them. Or they confess that they had fallen away and God took them back. They would share other words. Dr. Courtney Bugs is a seminary professor, and she grew up in a church in which that was a central part of life, and she talks about that. And her experience would be somewhat different from mine growing up in she grew up in a black congregation. Ours was probably not as lively because my little Baptist church where I grew up was a fairly quiet, sedate little Baptist church, and we didn't have the shouting and jumping so much. But we did have the testimony. We have people in this congregation who have functioned in giving testimony in the form of a sermon or even in sharing from their life over the past year, especially on those Sundays I've not been here. That's an important part of living out our faith in daily life. John's testimony of Jesus extends across time. And it is to be a model for us as we live our life, is sharing our testimony. Not all of us are called to get up and share a testimony in church, but we're all called to testify by our lives and our words to the role Jesus plays for us. And that testimony, whether it comes in a gathering of worship or it comes in daily life, is essential to sharing the gospel. John Stott, who was a writer, a pastor, a theologian in England, he's written a number of books, including some on prayer, and is well known really throughout the world for his ability to share insights about prayer and faith. But he sees our passage in Thessalonians as a kind of model of what worship is in the congregation. Rejoice always. In all things we rejoice and give thanks. Pray continually. Praying. Now we think pray continually. No, I can't do that. I've got to get a job. Or I've got to take care of the children. Or I've got to put the baby to bed. But prayer is really essential to our life in faith as it is essential in worship. And what he sees Paul talking about in Paul's writing is not so much personal prayer, but the prayer we do as a community. The prayers we offer on Sunday morning oftentimes are fairly lengthy and they cover a lot of concerns because it's a central part of our worship together. Whether we're here, and I wish you were all here, or whether we're at home and watching on a computer or a phone, when we worship, we are to rejoice, we're to pray. And pray becomes a central part of our worship. We heard music at the beginning, and music helps us rejoice. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. Thanks is part of our prayer, but it's also thanks when we give our offerings of to the church, whether of money or of time or of ability. All those things are a way of giving thanks. And that's possible whether we are gathered or not. And we listen to the Word of God, to Scripture, to people talk about what they think that Scripture means as they understand it. And then we share in the end, receiving Christ in Holy Communion in a normal service, which we haven't seen now for 10 months or thereabouts. But we keep trusting and praying those days will return. But this testimony we give in our daily life, and we give when we gather for worship. And Paul wants us to understand these basic elements whenever we worship God: rejoicing, praying, giving thanks, and listening to the Word of God. Amid all the darkness and disappointments in the world, God sent light. Trying times have the possibility of yielding really important testimonies. What testimony do you have that you can share, either in worship with others in our congregation, or in conversation with your neighbors or your family? How can you show the light, even in this time made more dreary by the pandemic, by the divisions and stresses around us? But Christ is still there. Christ is still the light of the world. And Christ can use you to testify to the good news that he brings for all people. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Please join in saying what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We will have special music this morning by the Handbell Choir in recording. Following that, there will be a consecration of communion to be used next Sunday. They will be distributed to those in service and to those who come for the drive-through voting, as we did the last time we undertook that. It's not the same as we normally have in communion, but it is an opportunity to share the sacrament as a community of faith with as many people as possible in the circumstances. God of power and might, shine your radiance and come quickly to this weary world. Hear our prayers on behalf of the church, the world, and all people according to their need. O Lord, we long for your salvation. Make haste and help us. Come quickly with blessing and comfort for your people. O strong deliverer of Israel and redeemer of the world, Lord, in your mercy, clothe your church with the joy of your salvation. Cover it with righteousness of Christ. Adorn it with your word and sacraments. Through it, let the poor hear the good news, the sorrowful find comfort, and captives to sin and death find salvation. Lord, in your mercy, restore the fortunes of Christians who were persecuted for confessing Jesus as Lord. Turn their weeping into rejoicing. Strengthen the witness of bishops, pastors, deacons, church musicians, lay leaders, and people who contribute their prayers and talent to public worship. Embed your word in their hearts. Lord, in your mercy, bless and guide the people of Mount of Holly Grove Lutheran Church as we look to the future. Give us faithful hearts, ears attentive to your word, eyes which see the needs of others, hands skilled in building up the body of Christ, and tongues swift to pray, forgive, and encourage. Lord, in your mercy, God of preachers and messengers, guide and strengthen our seminarians and all who are considering your call to serve the church. Make them faithful, true, and bold, and let them find joy in your service. Lord, in your mercy. God of all peoples and nations, anoint the rulers of the world with your spirit so that they love justice and hate evil. Use them to repair lives and cities ruined by violence. Direct their words and their works to your truth. Establish your peace among the nations. Make each of us righteous. Help us to bear fruit to your glory. Grant that we might build up your people. Lord, in your mercy. God of both the powerful and the helpless, until your great and final day has dawned, good people must risk their lives for the sake of justice, liberty, and safety. Shield, strengthen, and direct them. Help them to serve with competence and integrity. Keep them from harm. Heal and raise them when they falter. Give them a joyful reunion with their loved ones when their task is done. Lord, in your mercy. God of exiles and wanderers, you restore what was once destroyed. We pray for people who have been displaced from their homes by fire, flood, earthquakes, or storms. Support the work of Lutheran World Relief and Lutheran Disaster Response and all such organizations in their recovery efforts. Lord, in your mercy, grant your healing to the brokenhearted and all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially Burnett, Gary, Walter, Aldine, Teresa, Jean, Libby, Barbara, Mary, Bill, Rex, Harold, Scott, Kara, Michael, Neil, Steve, Kenneth, Charlotte, Lynn, Eva Ray, David, Pauline, Curtis, Joanne, Randy, Rylan, Brian, and Shelley, Danielle, all our servicemen and women around the world, all those who are unemployed and looking for work, those whose needs are known only to you and to themselves. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Strengthen all who care for them, and give them and all of us your everlasting joy. Lord, in your mercy. God of sinners and saints, you offer joy even amid our grief. We are grateful for the beloved, imperfect people whose lives testified to your radiant love. We entrust to your care all who have died, trusting in your promises. Anoint all who mourn with the oil of gladness. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously answer our prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace to you all. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will make all things new, in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth, the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me."
Let us pray. O God of justice and love, we give thanks to you that you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need, awaken us to the needs of others, and at the end bring all the world to your feast. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory forever. Amen. We pray as he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
We say our mission statement together. As united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world. I have two things before we dismiss. First thing is, once again, I would like to announce that the call committee brought to the council a candidate for pastor. We will have a meet and greet next Saturday, the 19th, at 2:00 at the Rain or Shine at the outdoor shelter. And on Sunday, we will have a drive-through vote for the pastoral candidate. The second thing is we want to keep Pastor Talon in our prayers as he goes for his surgery this coming Friday. So I will do my best to keep up with Miss Pat and find out the procedure and how you're doing. So keep Pastor Talon in your thoughts and prayers as he goes through this journey. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.